In northern Arizona, there has long been friction between the police and American Indians. By all accounts, the situation has improved in the last 20 years, but relations remain tense in towns bordering the Navajo and Hopi reservations, especially with many residents concerned about youth gangs. This is the case even in the mountain town of Flagstaff, long considered the most tolerant of the Indian border towns. Sandy Tolan has this report.
Flagstaff is still stinging from official charges of racism filed by a Latino police officer in 1992. That's when Trini Stoddard accused the Flagstaff Police Department of sexual and racial discrimination. The subsequent state investigation opened a window to the department, exposing hostile attitudes some officers had toward many races, including Native Americans.
Mr. Wren, have you been aware of any kind of racial or other kinds of comments directed toward Hispanics or Native Americans?
Yes, most definitely. Not only have I heard it myself, I've heard people call me, when I work there, a spick because I am of the Hispanic ethnicity.
This is Jenny Duran, a former part-time office worker in the Flagstaff Police Department, talking to an attorney for the Civil Rights Division of the Arizona Attorney General's Office.
I've heard Arabic or people of East Indian ethnicities called sand niggers. Many times I've heard officers come in and say, quote unquote, I arrested a nigger tonight, or that stupid Native American, they would make reference to how Native Americans drank a lot. You know, they would imply that all Native Americans were drunks.
The state attorney general's office concluded that the Flagstaff Police Department had violated Officer Stoddard's civil rights. In June, based on evidence gathered in the state investigation, a federal court jury awarded now former Officer Stoddard $140,000 in damages. The jury found the department had created a hostile environment for women and minorities. During the original investigation, one dispatcher said the department was the most racially and sexually offensive place she had ever worked. Even some officers said they were shocked at the atmosphere of racial prejudice in the department at the time. Prominent officers, including a former spokesman for the department, admitted using racial slurs. According to the investigation, one Native American officer said when she started dating a white cop, some of her fellow officers started calling her squaw.
It's ironic, last week we just finished cultural sensitivity. Again, we make everybody in the department attend cultural sensitivity training, and we have for about the last 4 years.
Flagstaff Police Chief Pat Madden says a lot has changed in the department since Officer Stoddard filed her complaint.
Yes, we recognize we had some problems, and I think we've risen to the occasion and addressed them. Any language that's derogatory, whether it's ethnic or just demeaning, we don't tolerate. We take a dim view of it, and we take disciplinary action on those officers that use it. We're here to serve everyone in the community, and we are not going to tolerate demeaning statements towards anyone.
With this kind of language in use in the past, it may not be surprising the department still has so few minority officers. Today, for example, Native Americans represent about 15% of Flagstaff's population and nearly a third of those arrested by Flag PD. Yet of the 82 officers on the force, only two are Native American, despite the aggressive recruiting efforts of Chief Madden.
We've actively recruited Native Americans, and it's a real problem not just to hire them, but to get them to come and test. On the Navajo Reservation, they have a very large police department, and they're recruiting continually. So I think a combination of the Native Americans are comfortable in their own environment on the reservation, and coupled with the recruiting that the Navajo tribe does, it's hard for us to make some inroads up there.
But it's also been hard for the police to make inroads among Latinos and Native Americans living in Flagstaff. And they see that as especially important now that they're dealing with what they see as a growing threat of gangs in this town of 50,000. Last year, Flagstaff PD, along with other local law enforcement, established GITIM, the state-funded Gang Intelligence Task Force.
It is a growing trend nationwide. Therefore, it's also a growing trend in our community.
Bob Coriel of the State Department of Public Safety is the sergeant in charge of GITIM and Flagstaff. He believes with education and patrols, local police can teach people about the gang trends in Phoenix and L.A. to keep them from spreading north.
I don't think I'd go so far as to say it's an epidemic by no means. It is something that I think that we have an opportunity to get maybe a little bit better control of before it does get worse.
But many Native American kids in town believe Gidim is going too far. They say it picks on them because they're Indian.
I just think they ain't helping out at all in the situation. They're more harassing you than they are more helping out the situation anymore. They'll just pull you out and start asking all these questions.
Roxanne Slim, a Navajo, and her Native American friends after school at Coconino High School. A baseball game carries on in the cool afternoon outside.
Just think about it. You're just walking on the street and a cop pulls you over and asks you all these things that you don't know, didn't even know what he's talking about.
You could be dressed any way and they would assume you're in a gang or just by your color or just anything like that. You know, they'll pull you over and ask you, you know.
In any stop, you watch for their appearance, their demeanor. By their posturing, they can already be showing you some kind of negative attitude towards you, you know, like the clenched fists. We look for things like clothing when we have somebody that, what we call dressed down to the extreme, if it's how they're wearing their belt, bandanas, hats, letting their pants, you know, drape down very low.
It just happened like a month ago. Me and my brother were walking back from school. And my brother always wears the eagle feather in his hair. And when we were walking home, the police came up to us and he's all, are you guys raising trouble here? We're all, no, we're just walking home. And he goes, oh, what are you going to do? Is that eagle feather going to make you fly?
Warning, blue, that's it, you got it.
Me, Pablo, and Carlos, and we're just using the payphone at the corner store, and they come up to us, so you guys keeping your nose clean.
A mile east, another group of kids from Los Aztecas, a community group mostly of Latinos and Native Americans. Most are around 12 or 14. Los Aztecas members say they're gang-free and drug-free, but some members say the cops sometimes try to make gangs sound appealing.
Like if we're playing basketball at the park or something, they'll walk up to us and just say, what gang are you guys from? I know, come on guys, I know you claim something. Throw your gang sign in there, they're all, most people in Phoenix, man, they're proud of it. They're all, if you want, you can turn around on the car and like throw it behind your back and we'll take a picture of you and all this stuff. And we're like, nah, man, we ain't from nowhere, they're all, come on, we ain't gonna do nothing, you can't get in trouble.
This makes their moms angry.
If you continuously tell these kids that they are gang members, they're troublemakers, eventually they're going to say, what the hell?
Los Aztecas organizer, Marianne Herrera.
They already think I am one. They already put me in juvenile 100 times already for doing nothing. I might as well really do something bad so that I can be in trouble and in jail for something that I did.
But some police and judges in town say the threat of gangs coming to Flagstaff is real. The police agree there are no real organized gangs, not yet. And that's the way they want to keep it. They worry, they say, because the early signs are there. The tattoos, the special handshakes, the spray paint graffiti. They fear it's only a couple of short steps to big city problems, like heavy drug dealing, gun running, and drive-by shootings. And in this atmosphere of wariness, officials say, if kids aren't part of a gang, but wear the gang colors anyway, they can be their own worst enemies.
If somebody walks in your schoolroom and they are wearing a police officer's uniform, you say, well, there's a cop.
County Superior Court Judge Jeff Coker.
If somebody walks in there wearing a black robe, you say, well, there's a judge. If somebody walks in there with their pants hanging halfway to their rear end, they've got tattoos all over them, they've got rings hanging from their nose, their ears, their eyes, and their neck, they're walking the walk, they're talking the talk, they're flashing the sign, what does it stand for? Now, you can say, it's my right to dress any way I want. It's my right to look any way I want. And that's fine. But, you know, if you're going to go out there and emulate a criminal, then don't be heard to complain that people worry that you are a criminal.
Native Americans point out that a feather or an American Indian Movement tattoo do not constitute gang colors. Los Aztecas kids say they're hassled for writing BP, Brown Pride, on their hands. In East Flagstaff Middle School, some say even Jesus shirts have been declared off-limits because of their alleged connection to gangs. Marianne Herrera says there's a double standard in what makes someone look like a gang member.
The cowboys can wear their hats, but these kids can't wear a hat because it's gang-related. I don't understand that. Why should we change just to satisfy the community? Just to satisfy, excuse me, but the white people?
Herrera says the common denominator for Gidim and the Flagstaff police is not clothing, it's race.
If you have a different color than white, then you're not right. That's why I keep saying, if you're not white, you're not right in this town. You cannot get past that.
Chief Madden and Assistant Chief J.T. McCann say Gidim and the Flagstaff Police do not base their stops on race.
We've had concerns expressed in several of our block watches. How come you stop Native Americans? How come you stop Hispanics? Well, we stop everyone that is displaying gang signs, gang clothing, and we don't isolate it. We make the stops, or we make our contacts based on attitude, activity, and location. We're just not there to oppress them. We're there to work with them.
If we violate one individual's rights, you know, then we're failing in our mission. And whatever neighborhood you go into, the people that live there are the people that we try to establish this partnership with. But we don't develop that trust by violating rights.
Some community activists say race relations would improve if less money was spent on watching for gang activity and more was spent on helping kids find something to do. Marianne Herrera.
They have these Crown Victoria 1996 brand new cars when they could have put a basketball court out here. They could have made a park out here. They could have put a youth center out there. Our kids have too much time on their hands. There is no recreation. If these kids want to join a basketball league, they have to have $25. When you're living on a budget of $300 a month, there is no way I'm giving my kid $25 to play basketball. Everything that you do in Flagstaff, you have to have money for. And it is based on people that have money.
This is Sandy Tolan reporting. Thank you.